Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and that he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd appeared and their cloaks and spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Thank you, Alri. Well done. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you, and welcome to all those watching from home. How well do you know your signs? I've got a few here. I'm going to test out your knowledge. And perhaps if you're watching at home, you'd like to use the live chat to share what you think some of these are. This is quite an easy one to start with. Does this mean that there is spaghetti on the road? No. It's a warning that the road ahead might be slippery. Okay, the next one. Ooh. Now this one, interestingly, means that no vehicles of any description are allowed except for bicycles, but you must get off and push. Now I don't know how you'd know that from that. The next one, this one's really specific. This is beware of toads. Really specific, isn't it? The next one. Beware of exploding cars. No. It's no vehicles carrying explosives are allowed. But hopefully none of us are carrying explosives in our cars, in fact. And the last one I've chosen. This one's really interesting. It means that vehicles may pass on either side to reach the same destination, and I can't even kind of get that in my head, but that's what that one means. Thank you. Now, if you knew the signs, there was definitely something going on that first Palm Sunday. Jesus has previously withdrawn from the crowds. He's taught his disciples as a small group. He's told people that he's healed not to tell anyone what's happened. And now he goes public. The first thing he does is to send two of his disciples into the village to hunt for a donkey. Jesus knows that this is him entering Jerusalem for the last time. He knows his life is drawing to its end, and he shows himself being in control of events. He sends the disciples to a specific house for a donkey and a colt, which is the foal of the donkey, and says, "Bring them to me, and if anyone asks you, tell him that the Lord needs them." Now, it all happens as he says, but how was that? Had Jesus arranged it beforehand? Did he know by some supernatural knowledge what would happen? Was he exercising the right that rabbis exercise to take over an animal for a particular purpose? Either way, as the events of Palm Sunday begin, we see the sign that Jesus is in control. And he purposefully chose a donkey, which is a sign in itself. From where they are, they're only 2 miles into Jerusalem. Normally, Jesus would have walked that. But here he chooses a donkey to ride in, and that was a deliberate action. He's making a deliberate point. 550 years earlier, the prophet Zechariah, which we read about in verse 5, had foretold that Jerusalem's king would come riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus rides on the colt and with the donkey's mother there to reassure her young. And in this choice is the sign that Jesus is the king that Zechariah spoke of, one who was in the line of David and one who was the Messiah. Before the horse became in common use, King David used the donkey as his royal animal to ride. So for those who knew their signs on that day, it was plain to see. Jerusalem is heaving with people. Probably about 150,000 people were there. Every male Jew within about 20-mile radius had a duty to be in Jerusalem for the Passover, and many others came along as well. The crowds who knew Jesus and had wanted to make him king after all his teaching and miracles now see their chance. So they say that he's important by spreading their cloaks on the road. Most of the people in Jesus' time would have only owned one cloak, but they take what they have and they lay it on the road in front of him to honor him. While others cut branches from the trees and laid them on the road, maybe they had in mind a story in the nation's folk memory when 200 years before, a king had returned to Jerusalem from defeating the enemy and people had waved palm branches. There are signs of kingship and victory and royalty and welcome as they greet Jesus on this day. And then there's what they shout. There's a crowd ahead and a crowd behind. The people in Galilee had been disappointed that Jesus hadn't done any public declarations of who he was. But now he's going to declare himself king in Jerusalem. He's going to fight against the Romans and throw them out of the country. The signs are everywhere. Surely, this is the moment. Here is the Son of David entering the city that King David had made his capital 1,000 years before. And they shout, Hosanna, which means save us. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And those were from a psalm, Psalm 118. And that psalm was used at main festivals. It was identified as talking about the Messiah. It's a prayer, save us, and it's praise. Here is Jesus, God's representative, coming in the name of the Lord to defeat God's enemies and to fulfill God's purposes. And what a day this is going to be. And for the second time in his life, Jesus' arrival causes a stir in Jerusalem. And I wonder if you can remember the first time. The first time was 30 years before, when the wise men came looking for one who was to be born king of the Jews, and all Jerusalem was stirred up. And now it happens again. People ask, who is this? There's that question again that I know as children and grown-ups we've been thinking about over the last few weeks. When Jesus says to his disciples, who do you say I am? See the signs. Take a look at who Jesus is. Decide for yourself. And if you're already a Christian, may your life be a sign to others. In what you say, in what you do, in your excitement about Jesus, your confidence of his hand on your life, and your love for the Bible. The signs are there on that first Palm Sunday, and they begin with a donkey. And so now the Cooper family are going to show us what we're going to do next. That was great, wasn't it? If you know your emojis, this is the surprise emoji. And I wonder if you like surprises. It's wonderful if you get home and discover that someone has cooked the tea, or if there's a parcel waiting for you. You might be someone who would love a surprise birthday party, and you walk into a room and suddenly your friends are there going, "Surprise!" Or that might be your worst nightmare. There are good surprises and there are bad surprises, aren't there? And over the past year, we've had some not so good surprises with lockdowns and with all our plans being turned upside down. Palm Sunday is a day of signs, and it's also a day of surprises. The donkey is both a sign and a surprise. Maybe it was a surprise to you that we were doing a donkey craft rather than a palm or a cross. It's a surprise to me how much people love donkeys in our nation. In 2014, people left more money in their wills for donkeys than they did for Barnardos or Oxfam or the Royal British Legion. These gentle animals have clearly won a place in our nation's hearts. And it's that gentleness that speaks of something that the crowds did not see. Jesus sees that the people are trying to make a political Messiah out of him. So he sends for the donkey to show, if they could see it, that he was not going to be leading a revolt against the Romans. Jesus chose a donkey because he wanted to speak of his kingship, of the kind of king he is. The crowd didn't actually think too much about the prophecy from Zechariah. For the kind of king there who rides on a donkey is surprisingly a humble, peaceful king. The donkey is contrasted with the war horse of a military leader. He comes as a prince of peace. Matthew tells us what Jesus was showing the people, that he is the Messiah, but not the popular idea of what the Messiah was to be. He didn't see his kingship in terms of armies and victories, but in terms of love and compassion and peace. The surprise is that his triumphant road down to Jerusalem would lead to suffering and humiliation, not a show of force. And if you'd been there on that first Palm Sunday, you would have found it difficult to believe that the enthusiastic cheering for Jesus would in a few days turn to shouts for his death. The surprise is that before the week is up, Jesus will be lifted high on a cross and die. The Son of God, come into this world out of love for you and for me, is going to die for us too. That is truly a surprising God. And Palm Sunday also teaches us that God is a God of surprises when it comes to how he answers our prayers. We all too often come to God because we want him to do something for us, because we think we know what we need. On that first Palm Sunday, the crowds come to Jesus because they think he is going to go into the city and do the thing they want him to do, to be the king that they want him to be. But they want God on their own terms, to fall in with their plans. And in the end, they're disappointed. What they didn't realize is that while they wanted a king who would set them free from the grip of the Romans who ruled their country, Jesus had come to set them free from something deeper and in the end far more important, the grip of sin and of death, of shame and guilt that all too often spoil their lives and all too often spoil our lives too. We come to Jesus, we come to him with our hopes and plans, we come to him with the things we'd like him to do for us, and he loves to hear us, he loves us to come to him. But we should remember and be open to the fact that he is a God who may surprise us in how he answers our prayers, and that he is a God who sees our deepest need and meets it in his way and in his time. This week is Holy Week. We walk with Jesus in the way of the cross. So let's see the signs of who he is as the events of this week unfold. And let's be open again to being surprised by God in all that he has done for us and all he continues to do for us. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for that first Palm Sunday. We thank you for Jesus, for the signs of who he is. Help us to see those signs this week. Help us to be surprised by him in a new way, we pray. Amen.